Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
And thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us Dr. Chris Melitas, and we're going to talk about supplements and what we can do for chronic diseases at home to prevent them and to treat it. How are you, Dr. Melitas?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me, Eva.
Oh, man, thanks for coming on. Is your book published yet?
Yes, actually, one of my latest books, the Handbook for Clinical Medicine, got published and is out and about.
It's an excellent book, very thorough, good job. Everybody ought to take a look at it. Where can I get it, Chris?
It's being sold, of course, through Marianne Lieber, the publisher, and also, of course, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. But Amazon's where most of my patients and, you know, friends and colleagues are picking it up. It covers everything from, you know, endometriosis, polycystic ovary disease, just simple things like diabetes and how to have a healthy colon or detoxify the body. But from a scientific perspective, shows that natural medicine works and shows you where the evidence is with great references.
Yeah, it's a good book if you're a practitioner, too. I mean, this is not a thin book. This book's, what, 3 inches thick or something? It's a good book. You need it on your shelf. And where can they find you, Chris?
Well, actually, I'm in Beaverton myself. I'm a private practitioner. But I also work with Vitamin Research Products. And one of my missions, just like yours, is to improve people's health one person at a time across the world. And so we offer free newsletters to health-aware individuals, and they can get those newsletters at no charge, electronic copies, and our goal is just to educate as many people as possible.
And what's the site?
They can go to VRP.com, stands for VitaminResearchProducts.com, and or
wait,
on Monday.
Cut out. Say that again.
They can go
Vitamin Research Products?
Yes, www.VRP.com. And get a free electronic newsletter on a monthly basis with cutting-edge research from around the world.
Good job. Okay, you sent me an email today that had a couple of topics in it, and I happen to like those topics. Iodine's the first one, and I happen to be on an iodine kick right now. I bought some liquid iodine the other day. So let's talk about that to start off with. Why would we need iodine, especially since so many people eat salt? I guess they're cutting back nowadays, but tell us why we would need that and how we would use it, and symptoms that show us that we do need it.
Well, great question, and actually a lot of us don't realize our salt levels have actually dropped. And I know when I was growing up, I was told, don't salt your food so much because it's not good for you. And the reality is that concept, that consciousness that salt is bad actually caused us to start having a lower and lower intake of iodine. The vast majority of us don't eat from the sea. We don't eat a lot of seaweed. Some people eat sushi every once in a while. But the fact is iodine levels from 1974 to 1988 dropped by 50% in the United States of America. And during that same period of time, we had more attention deficit, more brain fog, more anxiety, more depression, and also more breast health issues. There's, unfortunately, more little pink bracelets, the Susan Komen Foundation out there, and there's a lot of more diseases and suffering. And iodine, not only has it dropped in the U.S., but bromine has climbed in terms of our intake. In fact, now instead of iodine in a slice of bread, we have bromine. In fact, all processed white flour actually is brominated, and so as a result, we're consuming more bromines that push our iodine out. So not only we have two things going on. We have less iodine intake, and more importantly, we have more bromine intake.
What is bromine?
Bromine, like iodine, is a substance. And unfortunately, they now use it as a preservative in foods, and also they use it in, like, orange Gatorade and Mountain Dew to keep their citrus flavor suspended in solution. And it's just a substance which fights against iodine. And actually, it's been shown to even in some animal models to actually go into the thyroid gland, where we normally like to see a lot of iodine, because that's where our thyroid hormones are made from iodine. And bromide displaces it, so as a result, it can slow down your metabolism, cause you to gain weight, slower thinking, all the classical slower thoughts that come along with a slower metabolism or lower thyroid, you can see with bromide toxicity and iodine insufficiency. So if you're feeling poor, you might actually have an iodine issue, and it's definitely something to check out.
Now, if you test the thyroid levels, aren't there several tests for the thyroid and you have to get the right one?
Excellent question. And actually, the answer is yes. Unfortunately, the average person that goes to the average doctor only gets a TSH. It stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. That just measures what the pituitary gland, a lot of people call it the third eye, the pituitary gland actually is producing. It doesn't tell us what the thyroid or other organs in our body are doing. So it's kind of like the boss and checking out how the boss is doing, not really seeing what's happening on the floor of the factory. And so we really want to measure TSH, free T4, so F-R-E-E, free T4, and free T3, because it's a T4 and a T3, which is your little dynamo that's really getting your metabolism going. In fact, the free T3 is very hard to get the average doctor to run because it's, quote-unquote, not believed in, but the free T3 is a very standard blood test, and it's 3 to 5 times stronger in terms of stimulating your metabolism than T4. So free T4, free T3, and the reason I'm using the word free, not because the test is free, but more importantly, it lets us know how much of the thyroid hormone is floating around in your bloodstream, not attached to anything, so it's able to get the job done. It's kind of like if I was to ask me, how many hands do you have? They say, well, I have 2 hands maybe. But if you have 1 hand tied behind your back, you only have 1 hand free
right.
In the kitchen, so to speak.
Now, what are some symptoms that, because my doctor's told me that my thyroid's fine, but I know it's low. I know it is. So can you give us some symptoms that the average person can look for?
Certainly. Well, if you're colder than you used to be, so just you're wearing more sweaters, bundled up more, really can't get warm down deep, you could actually have low thyroid. If you're depressed, one of the classical signs is you're just really kind of down. Everything's kind of overwhelming. That could be a sign of thyroid and other problems, too. The other big one is lower libido and slower thinking and also weight gain. So maybe you're eating the same as you always have, but you're saying, where is all this weight coming from? And it's because you're not burning as many calories because your thyroid is low. So assuming you're eating the same, you're gaining weight, you got to look at the thyroid. Likewise, depression, slower thinking, lower libido, and just feeling cold and kind of crummy. And also another big one is constipation. When the bowels are moving slow, of course we call it constipation, but with a slow metabolism, everything is moving slow. In fact, one of the classical things I would see with my patients is before I do anything, I always check their thyroid before I measure their cholesterol levels to see if they're high or low. You can have high cholesterol with a low thyroid. You can have high liver enzymes with a low thyroid because, once again, your liver is not going to be working as well. You're not going to be metabolizing your cholesterol as much. So if you're feeling your body's out of balance, you got to get the TSH, the free T4, and free T3 so you have a foundation for all other aspects of your wellness.
Now, if it's connected with you're getting fatter, is that connected at all with metabolic syndrome?
Excellent question. The infamous metabolic syndrome is actually estimated by the Centers for Disease Control that 57 million of us, so many of us listening and talking right now, have this metabolic syndrome, which is pre-diabetes.
Can you tell us what that is for people who don't know what that is?
Sure. Well, pre-diabetes is where your blood sugars start rising, your cholesterol and triglyceride levels start rising. You might have noticed that your pants or skirts are getting a little tighter because your midriff's getting bigger. And so you're seeing elevated blood sugars, elevated cholesterol and triglyceride levels, gaining a little bit of weight. You might also notice your blood pressure's creeping up a little bit. It's not maybe too high, or maybe it is getting high. And all of these things are pointing towards what we call metabolic syndrome. And if you have two or more of these things going on, you kind of wonder, okay, I'm kind of going that direction. And think of metabolic syndrome like standing in line, and it's not your turn yet to become diabetic, but you're on your way. And our goal is, of course, to find a way out of the line and, of course, encourage as many people as we can to go along with us and find a better line to get into, a wellness line opposed to a diabetes line, which metabolic syndrome is pre-diabetes.
What do we do for it?
Well,
why does it come suddenly like that? I guess it's not really suddenly, but the symptoms appear to be when they just become profound overnight.
Yeah, and you're actually so wise about that because even what's happening is we don't notice because we are so busy and we get caught up in the energy of the world and the craziness. Sometimes we get detached from our bodies and we don't notice these little changes until one day we go to the doctor or we start feeling crummy enough and maybe we notice like, yeah, my blood sugars have really been bouncing. I eat the same food, but now I get sleepy. I want to have a nap. or I'm just not feeling very great, or maybe I'm not thinking very great. But what happens is we all get a little bit older, then what's happening is our hormones are changing too, which then further accelerates it. So here's this metabolic syndrome happening, kind of simmering like a little crock pot in the kitchen, and then we're getting a little older, both men and women alike, and our hormones are dropping a little bit, which are our buffer, and or a big stressor happens. So, you know, work, life, house, mortgage, whatever, and as a result, the bottom falls out, and all of a sudden, all those symptoms are just sitting there, and now you're glaring at, wow, how did this happen overnight? Like you said, sometimes it seems like it just snuck up on us, and where did it come from?
So what do we do?
Well,
is it our minerals?
I think minerals are great, and the thing is, just like we were talking about, and I'm going to tie in the iodine here, you know, they say that we're more obese than a nation has ever been, and we have more weight issues, but I argue, sure, we maybe consume too many carbohydrates. Certainly we have a more sedentary lifestyle, but with the iodine becoming lower, our thyroid becomes lower, our blood sugars become higher because we're not burning up that sugar. Before, it was like we got poor fuel economy, and when it comes to our cars, we want great fuel economy. We want to be aware and environmentally conscious. But with our body, we don't really want great fuel economy. We want to burn those calories. And then now with lower iodine levels, you're actually having a slower metabolism, and now the calories are hanging around, causing you to gain more weight, causing more resistance. So what I tell everybody to do is this. I use the 3-2-1+1 diet for everybody, and it is 3 vegetables, 2 fruits, a multigrain, and a lean protein. And I encourage everybody to, throughout the day, after, if you were to add up all your breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack, see whether you fall into that ratio of 3 veggies, 2 fruits, a multigrain, and a large lean protein of some sort. And your ratio throughout the day should be that way. People that eat more vegetables live longer. They have less metabolic syndrome. And, of course, corn is not a vegetable. It's a grain, so that doesn't count. And potatoes, I don't count as a vegetable, so you have to count those two. Otherwise, the vegetables and fresh fruits, limiting, the, of course, the carbs. So those things, a body in motion stays in motion. And I have also what I call the 10-minute rule. And the 10-minute rule doesn't require a gym membership. It just means that you walk to your front door with keys in hand, lock the door, and walk 10 minutes in any direction, and then walk back home. You got a 20-minute workout that didn't cost you anything. Might meet some neighbors along the way, social, but also de-stresses us. And that's a very important thing. Not only is the exercise and the diet, which we all hear about, important, but more importantly, it's also important that we find time to de-stress. And I'll give a classic example. I had a very busy contractor, and he was in charge of 3 or 4 housing developments at a time, and he was busy, and he came in with high blood pressure and metabolic syndrome. And I told him, and I said, Bill, you need to go out and you need to just take 10, 15 minutes in the morning and just walk around your neighborhood. And he told me, you didn't hear me. I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. But I begged him to just try it, humor me, and he ended up doing it, and he came back. His blood pressure was going back to normal. He actually said he was more efficient throughout the day because he made time for him to be around, to be well. And so far, he was giving and giving and giving, but achieving nothing for his health. And not only did he exercise, which was good for him, but more importantly, he made a quiet space in his day where there wasn't the helter-skelter of modern living.
Do you think we get everything we need from our vegetables? They seem so depleted nowadays.
Yeah, and you're right, you know, we don't.
I mean, we, you know, things like magnesium and L-carnitine and arginine. What role do those things play?
Well, they play...
Vanadium, chromium.
They're huge. And each of those that you mentioned, the vast majority of people, which I test in my clinical practice, I've been practicing for 16 years as a primary care naturopathic physician here in Oregon. We're basically family medicine doctors, and we do lots of testing. And it's amazing how many people are overfed but undernourished. And we know, just as you were pointing out, that over the last 200 years, we used to have 21 inches of topsoil, that rich, fertile, vitamin, mineral, nutrient-rich soil. Now we only have 6 due to agricultural practices, the farming practices, genetically modified foods, which are out there a lot more than we realize, what I term the breaking foods. And so it's not in the soil. It's not in the soil, therefore it's not in our crops. And then the more we process things, how many of us are so busy we're not spending the time to eat fresh produce, or eating dead food out of cans, containers, boxes. And there's a saying that I use with my patients: dead food for dying people, living food for, or live food for living people. And so critical. And you're right. Like, for example, the chromium. You know, we were talking about the metabolic syndrome. Well, the metabolic syndrome and obesity and diabetes, if you don't have enough chromium in your diet, which, once again, processed food's not going to have it, and because our soil is depleted of all these trace minerals and other nutrients, we don't have it, so our metabolism doesn't have it. Our insulin receptors are not sensitized, and we get insulin-resistant, and that's like type 2 diabetes, insulin-resistant diabetes, because of things like chromium and, of course, the diet and lifestyle and the stress. And it's just a really the whole 2009 energy that we are living in right now is an unhealthy one, whether it be the economic or also our health. And we need to take charge and fortify our bodies so we can work towards the solution.
Well, if somebody, let's say we had a chronically ill person that's getting diabetes, you know, they start having neuropathies in their feet, their blood sugar starts jumping around. What would you say the basic supplements they should take? And we understand that you must talk to your doctor about this, or at least research it so you can be intelligent. And we're just giving you information so that you have adequate knowledge to ask your doctors the questions, because they don't tell you these things. What would you say the ones, the new supplements we should look at to treat those things?
Well, for my
patients,
going to
go to the store.
So let's imagine everybody listening was my patient just for a moment. Of course, with your disclaimer that talk to your doctor first. But what I recommend for my patients is, what would I do for me or mine? What would I do for my family if we were there looking at maintaining blood sugar levels? I think without question, there's a product called Gluc Control. And Gluc Control is designed to help maintain normal blood sugars. And it's better to, of course, to capture and catch blood sugars before they go really, really high. And since most of us are pre-diabetic, the 57 million of us, opposed to the overt diabetics, which number about 24 million, but whether you're diabetic or whether you're actually pre-diabetic, a product like Gluc Control, which combines a lot of herbals, which help maintain normal blood sugars, important. But also, I like to always point out the very classical one, and you mentioned it when we were talking about the soil being depleted. Chromium. It's estimated by...
What does it do?
Well, it helps with insulin sensitivity. It allows your insulin to get better mileage. It allows it to work better at the cellular level. But I call it willpower in the bottle. It helps with also sugar cravings. Over the last 16 years, I've seen in my clinical practice, we all medicate ourselves one way or the other, whether it be for chocolate or carbohydrates or other ways in which we medicate our wellness and deal with stress. A lot of people eat carbohydrates to cope with life. And what this does is helps to deal with the cravings so that at least at the mental level, it's left it to a mental choice opposed to a physical choice. I don't think probably a single person listening hasn't experienced this. They've been cruising along, they've been stressed, and maybe they haven't ate lunch, and then they're ravenously hungry, and they eat and eat and eat to make up, to build up the blood sugars again, and then they come crashing down because they weren't ready and their insulin levels were so high. That all comes back down to chromium. And so chromium is great for weight loss, but 90% of us are low in chromium, they estimate. And the lower the chromium, the more carbs you're going to crave. The more carbs you consume, the lower your chromium, the lower your chromium, the more carbs, and you can see the vicious cycle. Yeah.
What about vanadium? Isn't that connected to your blood sugar and belly fat and metabolism?
Yeah.
What is that? Tell us about. You know more about supplements than most people. So I want to pick your brain a little bit.
Well, and actually, it sounds like you know a lot about supplements because you're nailing them all. But you're getting all the big ones. And the vanadium is, of course, I call it the cousin to chromium. It's another trace mineral. And what's really important for the listeners to understand, a little bit of something can go a very long ways. So when we talk about chromium or vanadium, we typically don't talk about grams or pounds or even often milligrams of these substances. We're talking about micrograms. And a microgram, it takes 1,000 micrograms to equal one little milligram. And for a point of reference, typical veggie calf or supplement contains about 500 milligrams of something. And so it would be like 5,000 micrograms or more to make just 5 milligrams. So you get the sense that we're talking about small amounts. But vanadium helps with insulin sensitivity again, helps with the sugar metabolism, works beautifully with chromium, and, of course, a product like Gluc Control, which is an herbal combination. So you got some herbs that have been traditionally used by indigenous cultures. You throw in some chromium, you add some vanadium, helps with our receptors so that we don't get insulin resistant. And the reason we become resistant to things is because of our stress, because of the higher carbohydrate diet than we used to consume a few generations ago. Our body doesn't know what it's being barraged with, so it's trying to cope with basically dog paddling in this sea of carbohydrates. And that's why I was trying to emphasize the 3-2-1+1 diet. Veggies, some fresh fruits, not dried fruits, fresh fruits, multigrain. And the reason we go for multigrain, not because it has wheat in it and it makes us feel like we're doing it holistically, but it prevents our blood sugars from spiking, and then that lean protein, the 3-2-1+1. So throwing in these minerals, something like glucose control, can really help. And this is what I've seen in my clinical practice, where people actually regain control. And I have to share a quick story. I have a medical doctor colleague here in town, and he actually, him and I were working at the local medical school on a National Institute of Health grant. So this was a grant to educate the medical students on natural medicine. And I asked him, his name's Miles, and I said, Miles, so what are you doing in your practice supplement-wise? And he says, well, supplements are good, Chris, but you know what I do? I actually use diet and lifestyle because I get a 60 to 70% reversal of diabetes, he told me, from diet and lifestyle. Once again, that's how we often get ourselves in trouble. Crazy, busy lifestyles, getting caught up in the craziness and helter-skelterness of energy of the world. And then we get sucked down that little path until one day we find ourselves in the middle of the class 4 rapids and we're saying, how did I get here? And so de-stressing and diet and lifestyle are so important. And the trace minerals, once again, the diet doesn't offer it. You know, it doesn't offer the iodine. 1920s, Michigan, iodine was so low. That's why the Morton girl was created. If you all know Morton salt, when it rains, it pours, that little girl with an umbrella, she was created to iodinize, add iodine to the diet of America because low iodine levels cause us to have the lower thyroid, slower metabolism, of course, those classical goiters. And as an expert in the field of iodine, Dr. Guy Abraham states it beautifully. When you have low iodine, you will have the zombification of a society. You're going to have people walking around like zombies because you don't have the iodine to allow your brain and your other parts of your body to function properly.
You know, that's something that people never think about as iodine. I never did. Okay, I want to ask you a few questions now about blood pressure and how to maintain healthy veins and vessels.
Great question. So blood pressure is a silent killer. So just like, you know, we have that sneaking up of blood sugars and metabolic syndrome, the other big issue we all have is heart disease. And it's estimated, once again, if we do nothing, and of course all of us will do something now that we're talking about it, but if we do nothing, one person every 33 seconds dies prematurely from heart disease in the United States or America. And so the question is, how do we not become a statistic? And part of it is controlling blood pressure. And they used to say, just like they did with diabetes and blood sugars, oh, you're allowed to have a 120 blood sugars and you'll be fine. Then all of a sudden we start going to our doctors and the doctor says, oh, no, we made a new rule. You should never be above 100 with blood sugar. Well, they've done the same thing here with blood pressure because they realized that the old rules with blood sugars weren't working. We had too many people going to diabetes. Well, now we're finding that with blood pressure, they used to say, oh, 140 over 90, you want to stay below that. Well, that's old news. Now they're saying if you're above 120 over 70, you're too high. You say, well, that's a big difference. I mean, most of us are above 120 over 70. How can that be? And once again, they realize that far too many people are dying prematurely. We see the consequence in our healthcare system. And so what we're working on now is maintaining a healthy blood pressure. And so opposed to waiting until you're over the threshold, and if you are, of course, there's things which we can do too, but more importantly, when we're talking about the 60,000 miles of blood vessels that you and I have in our body, we have to maintain a lower pressure because we have high pressure, or just like a balloon, we can actually pop something, but more importantly, it also puts a lot of work on our heart, and our heart only weighs 10 ounces. And so our little 10-ounce pump is trying to pump through 60,000 miles of blood vessels, and if we give it too much work, it's going to, of course, start to fail. Welcome to congestive heart failure. So,
and I think most people don't realize if you start having high blood pressure, it's indicative of other things happening, too. It's not just one thing. It's telling you a lot of things are about to go wrong, right?
It is.
You know, kidney problems, it's connected with diabetes, gut problems, hypoglycemia. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, the hypoglycemia is the the yin-yang of high blood sugar. So a lot of people with hypoglycemia actually have low blood sugars. And just like when you have too much blood sugar, too little is bad, too. In fact, one of our major organs in our body, our brain, actually, its primary fuel is blood sugar. So you're not going to be able to think well, feel well, be well if you have low blood sugar. Plus, your 75 trillion cells in your body will be underfueled. And if they're underfueled, they can't perform. They can't sustain, whether it be your hand, your mind, your back, or your, like you mentioned, your kidneys or other parts of your body. They're not going to function. And, of course, everything works in concert in our body, the one consciousness of wellness and thriving to truly be well opposed to just surviving.
There's something else I wanted to ask you about, too. I noticed my doctor said to me, a long time ago before I knew what I know now, first thing I did when my blood pressure started creeping up was on blood pressure medicine. I didn't know natural medicine existed. And he said to me, well, I'm going to put you on ACE inhibitors, but a lot of people can't take those. They have severe reactions to them. If you have a severe reaction to an ACE inhibitor, is that telling you something about the ACE inhibitors in your body?
Well,
that question makes sense.
And it makes great sense.
It made my lips swell up so that my top lip touched my nose, my bottom lip touched my chin. Is it telling me that I already have too much of that in my body, or what is that telling me?
Well, your case actually almost sounds like an allergic reaction called angioedema, where you actually, you know, will swell up, and sometimes even your eyes will swell up. I don't know if your eyes swelled up too, but your lips definitely did.
Everything did. It was terrible.
Oh, that's terrible. And so, yeah, actually when our bodies aren't responding well to something, it's either due to an additive, preservative, and or the substance, as you said, itself. And what's interesting is, you know, ACE inhibitors are one of about four or five classes of blood pressure drugs. And so often the average doctor, through trial and error, will try to find the right drug for a person. But, of course, unlike putting Cinderella's slipper on, you can actually maybe not survive the trial and error. The key is to figure out why is a person's blood pressure going higher. Is it kidney-related, hence we use an ACE inhibitor, or the opposite? There's a product called Pressure FX. And Pressure FX actually focuses on the parathyroid gland and actually looks at exactly the opposite mechanism of an ACE inhibitor. So it's like, you mean there's the opposite effect and there's ACE inhibitors? Well, how can there be both causing blood pressure problems? Well, there can be. So our bodies are so complex. And so what I always encourage people to do is take a very gentle approach, and there's a product actually called Circatrol, and Circatrol is offered by VRP.com, Vitamin Research Products, and it's designed to help maintain normal blood pressure. And so once again, maintaining it. So what's interesting is they say by the age of 65, 50% of all of us, whether we have high blood pressure now or not, will by the age of 65. And so we can wait until we have that problem, but like you point out beautifully, Eva, once we have that problem, we've already damaged the kidneys, already damaged the vessels in our brain, already caused heartache to not only our heart, but also our GI tract and other parts of our body. And for the gentlemen, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And for the gentlemen and women in the audience looking also for improved performance during intimacy, high blood pressure can ruin that too, because it won't allow the watering of the garden and actually maintaining good pelvic health as well.
Mm-hmm. So if we were going to take separate things, because I want people to understand what, you know, what are in these combination things, what would they be? I'm assuming arginine, things like that, maybe the grape seed extract. What things would we need individually if somebody's going to go look for them?
Well, if we were to make a shopping list for somebody, of course, after they check in with their doctor, make sure it's all good with all the other medications or health issues they may have. The first thing which I like to use is a combination of three things. It's called Circatrol. You buy them all at once, or you can try to get them separately, but it's pretty hard in the case of the product called Circatrol from Vitamin Research Products. And it contains a special grape seed extract. Simple enough, we've heard wine is good for us. We hear that grape juice is good for us. Well, this special grape seed extract was studied at UC Davis and was shown to help maintain healthy, normal blood pressures, and also a blueberry extract, which has a natural, unlike a drug, has a natural ACE inhibitor. You were mentioning like lisinopril or one of the other ACE inhibitors. Well, this one, a blueberry extract, all natural, just like the grape seed extract, working together to help control the blood pressure, and also vitamin K2 of all things. We hear about vitamin K, and usually if I say vitamin K, most people say, well, isn't that the thing I'm supposed to avoid if I'm taking the drug Coumadin or warfarin, which is a blood-thinning drug for those that aren't familiar, and hopefully you're not too many people are familiar because it's not a medicine that's really exciting to be on. It has lots of side effects.
I don't think any pharmaceutical is a good medicine.
No.
I mean, it covers up one thing and causes 50 other things.
Yeah, it's addressing the symptom the majority of the time when we have to figure out what the cause is. And that's a great segue. I'm going to take a pause from the blood pressure just for an example for the whole listening audience. If everybody that was listening to you, the thousands and thousands of people listening to you right now, if I was to ask everybody an opinion, I could say, Dr. Melita's thumb, that's me, my thumb hurts. What do you think we should do? And one audience member might say, oh, put ice on it. That always helps. The other one say, tie a string on it. That can help. The other one say, get a good night's sleep and take an aspirin. But you even, well, have you ever thought about taking a splinter out of your finger, Dr. Melita? I'm saying, what a great idea. You mean address the cause of why my finger hurts? And so likewise for the blood pressure or the diabetes or the iodine deficiency or all the nutrient deficiencies, which are very prevalent in today's society, where we have to address the cause. Why did I get blood pressure? I didn't have a blood pressure 5 years ago. Now I do. I didn't have blood sugar problems 5 years ago. Now I do. I didn't have that rheumatoid arthritis or joint problems, but why do I have it now? And so going back to the moment your symptoms started or you're at least consciously aware of them and then backtrack and say, how did I end up in the ditch? Literally, imagine driving in your car, all of a sudden you're saying, I'm in the ditch. How did I end up here? Well, actually, I moved. I missed the possum, dodged the rock. The oncoming car came, and you can backtrack and say, okay, I'm going to now be aware of those things that led me to this ditch. So you can back your way out of lots of health issues just knowing that I got this way by the following path.
What about things like zinc, selenium, niacin? What role do they play?
Well, niacin, of course, was actually one of the first prescription. Actually, vitamin B3 is niacin for all those that aren't aware. Actually, it was used as a prescription item for controlling cholesterol. And still to this day, lots of open-minded medical doctors will still prescribe niacin prior to prescribing a statin drug to help control cholesterol. Niacin also helps expand the blood vessels, increases circulation, and so it's very, very popular. You mentioned selenium.
Doesn't it thin your blood, too?
It has maybe a slight effect on thinning of the blood, but mostly it's that vasodilation, expanding the blood vessels, and it also lowers the cholesterol. It might have a slight blood thinning effect, especially once you've lowered the cholesterol level so you're not running really thick.
Mm-hmm.
And then the selenium you mentioned, great point, because it ties into the earlier point that you brought up, which was what about our trace minerals in our food? So you mentioned chromium, and we talked about that in blood sugars and insulin resistance. We talked about vanadium, also blood sugars and insulin resistance. Well, selenium is an intriguing one because it's a natural companion to the iodine that we're low in. Remember, in the 1920s, even when we had better farming practices, iodine levels were low. Well, in the Pacific Northwest and lots of regions in the United States, selenium is naturally, no matter here or 300 years ago, it's low in the soil, so it can't be in the food. Selenium is required for iodine to work properly in our body for thyroid function. Plus, it's an antioxidant, and it's also critical for gentlemen to maintain a healthy prostate, along with the zinc you mentioned. So zinc is critical for immune system, selenium critical for iodine, and for gentlemen, zinc is critical, of course, for the prostate. But zinc is also, if you ever have children, anybody that has children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, take a look at their fingernails next time you see them. See if they have little white lines or dots on their fingers. So not the little moons, so everybody's looking at their fingers that aren't driving. And you look at your fingernails and you see the little moons. That's natural, the little white, you know, semi-moons. But if you have little white dots, you know, everybody says, oh, well, I must have hit it or I must have nicked it. Well, that might go for one finger. But if you have it on two or three fingers, you say, I wonder what my zinc levels are. And lots of times zinc levels are lower and more prone towards cold. But children will often have them. They'll be more little ADD, ADHD, more acne. But also they need it for bone growth. So when kids are rapidly growing, like the rings on a tree, the kids start getting little white dots on their fingernails. That's a sign that often they're getting to a zinc insufficiency. Not saying deficient, but just not quite enough zinc. So sometimes a good multivitamin with zinc like Extend Core, another product from vitamin research rocks can help backfill that. A good multivitamin is usually a good recommendation for the vast majority of us on the standard American diet.
That's good to know. I never knew that. What about, let's talk a minute about potassium and edema and magnesium. You know, they always hear they walk hand in hand. You have to take 3-to-1, 5-to-1, 2-to-1. But how do you know if it's potassium you need or if it's magnesium that you need?
Ooh, that's a tricky question.
Because I've fooled around with it, and I've almost killed, you know, I pay real close attention to my body, but I've almost killed myself playing around with those things so I can learn how to help other people. So how do you know?
Yeah, of course, one can experiment, but as you pointed out, especially when it comes to potassium, it can become a little scary because if we have too much potassium, we can shut down our heart. But like you said, edema is not a good thing either. So it really comes down to what we call the sodium-potassium balance. And let's give a great example. The standard American diet, which we call the SAD, standard American diet, SAD, actually has twice as much sodium as potassium. It's a 2-to-1 ratio in favor of sodium. That's not a good thing. So where most of us are over-salted, not to be confused with too much iodine, but rather too much salt. Lots of fast food restaurants, processed foods, don't use iodinized salt. They use just plain old sodium with no iodine in it. So 2-to-1 standard American diet, that's a bad ratio. Good ratio, vegetarian diet. Vegetarian diet, so imagine if you're eating, you know, vegetables and salads and maybe a semi-vegetarian, a little bit of meat, but you're not eating anything processed. That person has 1 part sodium and 5 parts potassium. So there's a tenfold difference between the vegetarian diet, which has 5 times more potassium than sodium, and the standard American diet, which has twice as much sodium. And so going towards more veggies, more fruits, which are naturally higher in potassium, once again, that 3-2-1-plus-1 diet, food is our best medicine. It was Hippocrates, 400 B.C., that is given credit for that quote. But, of course, the old wives' tales have also said, eat your vegetables. And what's very exciting about us sitting here with a clear, open consciousness is we're all grown adults, most of us listening, and we now have a choice. When we were kids, we kind of pursed our lips and gritted our teeth and said, I don't want to eat my vegetables. Now, as adults, we have a choice to either listen to the wisdom of our parents when it came to vegetables at the very least and say, okay, I guess I should be eating my vegetables. Because bottom line, mom was right when it came to our vegetables, more vegetables.
Well, if people who take supplements in potassium, it can cause your heart to have arrhythmias, right?
Yes.
I mean, how do you match up that potassium and magnesium? Because magnesium you can kind of get rid of, but the potassium, how do you know which one? Because the doctors tell you to take potassium, but they don't tell you about the symptoms that it can cause.
Yeah, well, for anybody...
So how do you get rid of the edema, I guess? If you're going to do supplements, how do you get rid of that edema?
Well, edema is caused for lots of different reasons. So first off, we have to make sure our liver is in good shape. If our liver is not in great shape, we won't make a protein called albumin. And so I tell everybody this, once a year, get your medical doctor or a holistic practitioner or whomever's running your blood work, get them to run what's called a COMP.
Wait, you cut out. Say it again.
Okay. Have everybody do a COMP metabolic, which is a comprehensive metabolic profile. It'll measure your electrolytes, measure your liver, and measure your kidneys. Have to have a healthy liver and have to have a healthy kidney. If either the liver or the kidney are at fault, and are causing edema, we need to know that so we can fix it. But now when it comes to sodium and potassium, whenever I supplement with potassium, I always get a remeasure on their potassium levels within 3 to 4 weeks to make sure they're not going too high. Because high potassium can literally be a killer. You mentioned something that was very subtle, and maybe some listeners are saying here, magnesium is a rate-limiting factor. If any of us consume too much magnesium, one thing's for sure, we're going to get diarrhea. It's going to run right through us. Potassium won't do that. Magnesium, you get enough magnesium, you're going to basically have it exit one way or the other. And so you could theoretically get too much magnesium, but you have to be much more afraid of too much potassium. So if you do it in the vegetables, you do it like with a green drink. In fact, most of my patients use a product called Primary Green. It's also from BRP. It's good tasting, doesn't taste like grass. Actually delicious tasting. You just mix it with water, and it helps augment some of those fresh fruits and vegetables that most of us just don't get.
Okay. Let's talk a minute about the magnesium. I had a good conversation with Norm Shealy the other day about this, and he told me don't take the oral magnesium either, because number one, it doesn't absorb very well. It just goes out, you know, in diarrhea or in your stool. Number two, it doesn't help raise DHEA like transdermal magnesium. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, one form
over the other, why we would want to do one form over the other?
Yeah, and there is a popularity that's growing with a transdermal form of lots of nutrients. So for those who aren't aware, transdermal being, of course, a cream rubbed on the skin to allow absorption in that direction. And I find that a good quality magnesium, and that's one of the things which I'm sure you've shared with your listeners before, the various forms of supplements really vary. Not all supplements are created equal. That's one reason you want to go for something that's certified GMP at the very least, which stands for good manufacturing practices. Kind of like the good housekeeping stamp, but it shows that what's on the labels, in the bottle, what's in the bottles, what's on the label, which is not the case when you go to a local health food store. And so like Vitamin Research Products, which I write that free newsletter, which you can get for, actually ensures that indeed that's the case. So Norman is right that if you don't get a high-quality oral magnesium, a transdermal is of strong consideration. So I've used with my patients a vegetarian capsule of magnesium, but I think a transdermal form, if it's getting this job done and the levels are improving in the body, that's important. So you can go by symptoms with magnesium, but one thing that's very important for everybody to know, you can have a magnesium level in your blood that looks normal, but it doesn't really mean anything because unless you get what's called a RBC, a red blood cell magnesium, only 1% of the magnesium that we have in our bodies in our blood, the other 99% within our cells of our body, creating energy and allowing our body to work well. So that magnesium is so critical, but you have to get actually a special test called a red blood cell magnesium in order to actually really measure, are you getting the job done? And, of course, going by symptoms. So I think a transdermal or a product called OptiMag is something which I use with my patients. Once again, check in with your doctor, and we're not prescribing. We're just giving some friendly advice.
All right, we've got about 15 minutes. I would like for you to take a few minutes to talk about body talk, and then you can take a few minutes to talk about whatever you want to talk about that we haven't talked about.
Well, thank you. Well, body talk is something which I like to always share with you because, you know, we're all basically grown-up children, and we all were fascinated with our bodies as we were growing up, and now we've gotten so busy, sometimes we forget to look at the body. So the first part of body talk would be like to look at the zinc, which I was talking about, where how is our body talking to us? And so if your fingernails have the little white dots or your kids or family members have little white dots, often that can be a sign of zinc deficiency. And interesting enough, there's I won't call it a parlor game, but it's a little family reunion thing that you can play around when you're sitting around the kitchen table or the dining room table. Look for the little white dots, and then you ask the person, and you're going to be about 80% of the time right, do you have fine little bumps in the back of your tricep, the upper arm? And
I've had those before. What is that?
And, well, that's a sign that we often don't have enough essential fatty acids. That's the fish oil. And now, of course, we're children, but as adults, too, our concentration, we need to have fish oil. Our inflammation, we need to have fish oil. If you have those little bumps on the back of the arms.
Like sandpaper.
Exactly, Eva. And those little sand bumps, sandpaper feeling, actually is a sign we often don't get enough essential fatty acids. So now imagine you're at the kitchen table or dining room table, you see little white dots, you're going to say, you have little fine bumps in the back of your arms, don't you? They're saying, yeah, how do you know? Now, of course, if you're an open setting and it's appropriate, you can, and especially with just women talking to women, the women can say, well, and you have menstrual cramps and lots of clots during your menses. And you're going to say, yeah, how do you know that? Well, if you have those little fine bumps, often there's a correlation with too much arachidonic acid in the uterine lining. And they cause clots.
So what
and
do you
it's
do
like
that?
And well, fish oil.
Okay.
And magnesium.
Okay.
Fish oil and magnesium for the cramps, the clots. And within a cycle or two, once again, I'm not making any claims here, but I can tell you over 16 years of practice what works. So this is just doctor talk here, and it's exciting. You're saying, okay, little white bumps or little white dots, zinc. Zinc is necessary for the fish oil, which only 1 in 6 people get enough of. And once again, you don't want to get any fish oil. You want to get high-quality fish oil because so much of the world's oceans are polluted. They have mercury, they have PCBs, they have perchlorates. So you want to get a good brand, and I use one from Vitamin Research Products. And for people to know, I'm just a writer for Vitamin Research Products. And I use one of their fish oils, a Nordic Naturals or an Ethyl EPA, along
so
with
magnesium. So you want cold water fish oil? Is that what you want?
Yeah, deep cold water fish oil. Or for those that are more environmentally aware, you can use what's called krill oil. And krill oil is not as high up on the food chain, so it's more replenishable from an ecological perspective. And krill oil also has some natural antioxidants in it as well. So either a cold, deep water fish or krill oil. So we got the little bumps, we got the little white dots, and now let's move to our outer third of our eyebrows. So, you know, we have eyebrows all the way across to the edge of our outer part of our face towards our ear. If someone starts having thinning or loss of the outer third of their eyebrow, there's a strong correlation, assuming it's not a bad wax job or overplucking, it's actually often a sign that your thyroid's starting to pitter a little bit. It's not necessarily up to snuff. So if you're starting to notice, yeah, I actually have been having thinning of my outer third of my eyebrows, go to your doctor and just like Eve and I were talking about, get the TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, free T4 and free T3, and make sure you're in the middle of those ranges or better. You don't want to be at a high level on TSH. You want to be on the lower level of TSH. And the free T3 and free T4, you want to be in the higher end of the normal range. You want to have your thyroid like a car, purring. You don't want it to be plugging along or backfiring or chugging along. You want to have good thyroid function. So the outer third of the eyebrow is important. The other interesting thing when it comes to body talk and what is our body telling us is if the earlobe, so if your earlobe has a diagonal crease in it, so you have a deep crease, there's a correlation, according to some experts, that this can be a sign of early heart disease because the capillary beds, if you ever punctured your ear.
Where is this? Where is this on the ear?
Just the earlobe, the meaty part of your earlobe. And, of course, everybody has different earlobes. So if you have a nice meaty earlobe, if you have a deep crease in that earlobe, you actually will see it. It's a fine little crease. And you'll look around at 10 different people, you'll find it in two or three people. It's often a sign that heart disease is already happening because your capillary beds are collapsing on themselves.
Interesting. Give us some more of those things. I like those things.
Well, they're interesting because we know so much. And so, likewise, if you have purple little dots on your fingernails, so, you know, under in your nail beds, that can often be a sign that you have heart disease or pericarditis. And so if you have any weird changes in your nails, always tell your doctor because the nails can tell us a lot, just like the skin, those little rough spots can tell us a lot. Likewise, if you have dark circles under your eyes, and so, you know, we often try to cover them up with either makeup or wear our glasses or do something. So assuming you're drinking your water and you don't have kidney disease, those are often called allergic shiners. And what we'd recommend is getting a food allergy test. So many people over the last 16 years of my clinical practice, they say, I don't have any food allergies. I mean, I can eat anything. I don't break out in asthma or hive. And there's two types of food allergies that are that the patient just describes, which is breaking out in an allergic hive or asthma. But then there's something called hidden food allergies. And they work a different way. And Vitamin Research Products, the VRP.com, offers directly to consumers this test, which measures for 96 different foods through a simple finger stick test, like a diabetic test. And it lets you know, are the foods you're eating in the buffet of life, are they nourishing you? Are they supporting your health? Or are they undermining you unbeknownst to you? It's like erosion, wind, rain, and sleet, and snow. And eventually you wake up one morning and say, wow, what happened to the house? Well, in this case, our body, the temple, actually gets eroded away by eating the wrong foods unbeknownst to us. And what's interesting with hidden food allergies, and remember this all ties into those dark circles, maybe irritable bowel, sometimes we feel punky or foggy in our head, can be a myriad of symptoms. And what happens is we're eating foods, but it takes up to 72 hours after we eat them, so 3 days before we know it. So let's imagine Eve and I were to eat the same food for dinner. And then on Tuesday or Wednesday, we're not feeling so good. So, of course, anybody listening said, well, what did they eat that day? It could be up to 3 days previously. And I don't know about most of you, but I know for myself, I don't know what I ate yesterday unless I really, really think about it. So I'm not going to make a correlation about 3 days ago. Yeah, I went out and had sushi, and I had that one egg roll, and I had And then on Tuesday, I got a migraine headache, or I have really irritated bowels, or I got heartburn. So once again, food allergies, once again, dark circles under the eyes. So those are some classical body talks, and there's all kinds of other ones as well. And of course, a classic example of body talk in the most conventional route is we all know about the left jaw pain. We all know about the left shoulder and arm pain. We know that's heart-related. What does it have to do? Because the heart's in the middle of our chest. Well, that's called referred pain, but that's also a very simple body talk. Likewise, you know, people with gallbladder problems. Where do people with gallbladder problems have problems? They have them in their right shoulder blade. But the gallbladder's underneath the right rib cage at the very bottom of the rib cage. What does that have to do with the right shoulder blade? Well, that's more body talk. It's called referred pain as a classical sign of having a problem. So it's very interesting to see that even in conventional medicine, body talk is real. And what we were just going over together was some more subtle points of body talk, which aren't yet fully embraced, but give us some nutritional insights about food allergy testing. And once again, simply go to VRP.com, www.VRP.com, and you can read about all, you can look at food allergies, you can look at iodine, and it's all free. It's just, it's a large archived library, as well as a free electronic newsletter.
Have you ever heard of anybody's ears suddenly getting hot? Some woman came to me the other day and said, you know, I don't know why, but suddenly my ears get like they're on fire.
Yeah. And
that's, Have you ever heard of that?
All the time. In fact, just
what does
no
that mean?
Joke, 2 days ago, 3 days ago actually, this is Sunday today, 3 days ago, actually, a mom said, my daughter, teenager, healthy as teenagers are, she says, one of her ears will get hot, the other one will get hot, and they come and they go. And what does that mean? Well, it can mean three things classically. So assuming they don't have high blood pressure didn't cause a problem. But the other thing is TMJ. So many people don't realize that they're clenching their teeth. And if you ever actually put your finger on your jaw and clench it, you'll feel the tension going to your ear and to your temple.
Interesting.
Temporal mandibular joint. And so what happens is you cause congestion. The other thing, of course, is acid reflux will cause it because, interesting fact, 50% of people with chronic sinusitis, so this is irritated sinus problems, have silent acid reflux. You know, we all know the commercials on television showing the burning and the heartburn and all of this, but lots of times it's actually not actually the heartburn. It's silent, just percolating up there enough to irritate the back of the throat and the sinuses. So make sure, rule out acid reflux, rule out TMJ and tension, and also rule out shoulder tension because the shoulder tension is amazing contributing to what's called the sternocleidomastoid, huge muscle side of our neck. It gets so tight. So many of us are desk jockeys and we're stressed out in commutes, and that will cause this ear pain as well. And, of course, ear infection is very, very common as well.
So you got 5 minutes to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. I have a book coming out. I have a book coming out, actually two books coming out this year, book number 19 and 20. And one is on male menopause. I'll just spend about a minute and a half on it. One man in four, so that's 25% of men at the age of 30, have majorly low testosterone levels. So if either you or a friend or a family member just is lackluster, don't feel so great, maybe their muscle mass is decreasing, they're more depressed or anxious, and just don't have the eye of the tiger anymore, get a blood level or a salivary test to measure testosterone levels. VRP.com does salivary testing directly for consumers, or you can go to your medical doctor. Any guy, measure your testosterone. And on the same note, any woman which is having hormonal challenges, it's important for her to measure her testosterone level too. Even though a woman only has a fraction as much testosterone as a man, I have women that are 30 and 40 years old, they're working out, they're trying to get in shape, and we measure their testosterone level and they're truly low. And no wonder they can't maintain muscle mass. No wonder they're not burning the calories and achieving their health goals. So heart failure, huge. And even now there's a link between low testosterone and more male problems, not only the ED, the late night commercial kind of problems. Once again, you can take a pill for it, or you can figure out what's really going on. And research shows that lower testosterone, just like you were pointing out, Eva, causes more heart problems. Because remember, whether it be your biceps or the heart...
It's all muscle.
It's a muscle. And it beats 100,000 times a day for the average person. And if it doesn't have the off, you're going to have underperformance. You're not going to water your garden, whether it be south of the waistline or your brain. So that's a huge issue. The other big one is sleep apnea, a big passion of mine. I diagnose about 30 people a month with sleep apnea. I call it the silence that kills. The moment
what do you
you're
do
part-
for that?
Two things. First off, get diagnosed. If you have any question of whether or not you're not breathing right or your partner's not breathing right or friend or family, got to get tested. But more importantly, there's dental appliances. So lots of people don't want to think about wearing what's called a CPAP or BiPAP machine. That blows air down your airway and keeps it open. Weight loss can help. If you hit male or female, once you hit andropause, which is male menopause, which can happen as early as 30, or female menopause, you have to look at the hormones. There's a hormonal link. Weight, of course. Women that have a 15-inch or larger neck, 50% chance of apnea. And gentlemen that have a 16.5-inch or larger church collar or dress shirt neck, 50% chance of apnea. So weight loss, look at your hormones. And also, if you had orthodontic work when you're a kid or even as an adult, you increase your chance of apnea. Or if you have if you have a narrow jaw. If you have a narrow jaw, that also increases the chance of either a dental appliance or a CPAP BiPAP machine.
Okay. All right. We got to wind it up. So tell us one more time where to find you.
Okay. Well, you can find my articles at VRP.com, or you can call tomorrow or during the week at 1-800-877-2447. Once again, 1-800-877-2447. VRP.com stands for Vitamin Research Products. Free newsletter. Just call and you'll get a free newsletter electronically sent to you on a monthly basis.
Thank you so much, Chris. I hope you'll come back when your book's out.
Well, thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for coming on. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher, author of Integral Health. Integral Health. Integral Health. You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health. Consciousness and health. Consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr.